as today brings us to sermon 3 from this scripture, Psalm chapter number 14. Now, so far, we spent all of our time considering the atheist whom God calls a fool in verse number 1. For the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Did you hear about what they put on the atheist headstone? The atheist man died. There was no known next of kin or any that could be found. And so the town folk put on the proud atheist headstone, here lies John Doe, all dressed up and nowhere to go. One day the zookeeper noticed that the orangutan was reading two books. One was The Origin of the Species, and the other was The Holy Bible. Surprised, he asked the orangutan, why are you reading those two books? He said, well, I just wanted to know if I was my brother's keeper or my keeper's brother. An atheist was livid about the fact that religious institutions didn't have to pay taxes. So he went to the local magistrate to discuss the situation, and the judge listened very patiently and respectfully to the complaint of the atheist for quite some time. Finally, he stopped the atheist and he said, well, excuse me, sir, you are an atheist. Correct me if I'm wrong. He said, well, yes, I am, very proudly. I am an atheist. And the judge said, in your primary complaint is that churches don't have to pay taxes, that they are non-profit organizations. And he said, yes, Judge, that's pretty much it. He said, I see. Well, the way I see it, sir, atheism is also a non-profit organization. Charges dismissed. So we're looking at Psalm 14 under this title, Practical Atheism, and the first part of verse number 1 shows you and I the creed of this world. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we noted its soldier, the fool, its source, his heart, and its sacrilege, no God. Well, today we're going to move on from there and continue looking at verse number 1. But not under this, the creed of this world, but number 2, I want to show you the conduct of this world. Now, during the first 2 sermons on Psalm 14, we zeroed right in on the atheist. But as we now move from that first phrase in verse number 1, we're going to notice that the scope of Psalm 14 widens substantially. More than just the atheist, we are now looking at the whole lot of humanity in its unregenerate state. See, unfortunately, very few folks end up getting saved. So in essence, what we now get to see is the conduct of this world. There are more headed to hell than there are headed to heaven. Look at verse number 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's the creed of this world. Got it? Got it. Now let me show you the conduct of this world. Continue reading. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? That's the conduct of this world. You say, preacher, how do you know that isn't just talking about the atheist and is really nothing more than a continuation of that opening thought here in Psalm 14? Friend, I can say that this is referring to all men, number 1, because of New Testament revelation. Won't you jot this verse down in the margin of your Bible right next to verse number 2? Won't you write down Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. Now, the atheist is included here. But we would be in error to restrict the usage of this passage to the atheist only, because the Apostle Paul expounded upon this text in the New Testament. And in Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says this, "For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles." Now that covers everybody, because if you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. Red, yellow, black, and white, brown, whatever color you want to throw at somebody, if you're not Jewish, then you are a Gentile. "For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Then drop down to verse 23 where the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, do you see that? But even if we didn't have Romans chapter number 3, which we do, therefore it is enough. But even if we didn't have Romans chapter number 3, the evidence that these verses in Psalm 14 are referring to all men and not just the atheist, that evidence is present within the confines of this little psalm itself. Look at verse number 2 with me back in Psalm 14. The Bible says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men," underline that phrase, "to see if there were any that did not understand and seek God." Now that phrase, "the children of men," informs you and I in very plain terms that more than just the atheist is in view here. Then verse 3 says that all of these, everybody that's in the children of men, that they are all alienated from God. Look at verse 3. "They," those that are in the children of men, "they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And we saw last time that all men before salvation, they are part of the children of men. But church, thank God. Thank God when Jesus gets a hold of us, we become part of the generation of the righteous. Look at verse number 5. "There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous." Now listen to me, friend. God is the creator of all men, but God is not the father of all men. If you want God to be your father, you got to get out of the children of men and you got to get into the generation of the righteous. And the only way that can happen for any man is salvation in God's Son, Jesus Christ. We're talking about the conduct of this world. Look at our text again. "They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Church, that is the divinely inspired description of our character by nature. And let me tell you, God knows the truth about us. But aren't you thankful? So very thankful for God's salvation in Jesus Christ. Because no matter how we start out, whether we are Jewish or Gentile, no matter how we start out, we are supremely sinful. But through Jesus Christ, start out as bad as we may, through Jesus Christ, we can become new creatures. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything." That is, being Jewish doesn't profit you at all. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature," the Bible says. "For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if you didn't get changed, then you didn't get saved. But, listen now, there is no transformation for the unsaved. And this portrait that God has painted of mankind right here in Psalm 14 remains their own. Yes, even those in our families who are not saved, listen, this is exactly who they are. But preacher, hey, God knows them a lot better than we do, amen. That's why it is imperative. So imperative that we do all that we can to reach those in our family who are lost. And that includes those who say that they're saved, but they show little to no signs of spiritual life. Friend, eternity is long. It is much too long to leave it to chance, to leave it to "I think so," to leave it to "I hope so." Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, Jesus said this. He said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." And if you don't see any fruits, my friend, it's best to assume that they are unsaved. But preacher, they just don't seem that bad to me. At least as bad as these verses are saying. Friend, let me ask you a question. Why would God paint a picture any blacker than it needed to be? Job chapter 8 and verse number 3. "Doth God pervert judgment? Or doth the Almighty pervert justice?" Listen, I know we love our family. But friend, we cannot let our love of our family overthrow our knowledge of who God is. Let me remind you, there is no injustice with God. Injustice in this world, yeah, plenty of it. But no injustice with God, and God cannot lie. These are the character profiles of our loved ones who are without Jesus Christ, and they are recorded in heaven's forever ledger with a pen of absolute truth. And a failure for you and I to come to the light of God, which is the light of truth, amen. For Jesus said, "I am the truth." Jesus also said, "I am the light of the world." The psalmist said, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth," Psalm 43 and verse 3. And a failure for you and I to come to the light of God is perhaps the reason we are so lackadaisical about reaching our lost loved ones with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we just simply don't see the evil. And you know why that is? We see nothing to reprove because we are not in the light ourselves, even though we may be saved. Church, if we're going to reach our lost family members and bring them to the feet of Jesus Christ, then we must first begin to side with God ourselves. Eternity is long. Again, much too long. Love your family enough to speak those tough things to them concerning their spiritual need. This morning we're talking about the conduct of this world. What is the conduct of this world? First of all, there's its works. And the first work that our text shows us is that they are corrupt. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Now that word corrupt means guilty of dishonest practices, lacking integrity, crooked, debased in character, perverted, wicked, and evil. Now, sin is in our nature passively as a source of evil. I mean, we're born with it. But we also actively fan the flames and we corrupt ourselves by our own conduct. We rivet our own chains by habit and by continuance. Now that's easy enough certainly to see in those who have chosen to go the way of the gutter in our society. But when a man is civilized, when he is polished, when he is learned, when he is polite, perhaps even wealthy, then we tend to see those as decent folks, don't we? Listen, friend, if they be without Jesus, they are corrupt. A dead man is still a dead man, no matter if he's dressed up in his Sunday best laying there in a coffin. Do you get what I'm saying? And so, anyone who has not been born again by salvation through Jesus Christ, they are wicked, debased in character. They are corrupt, even though they may appear nice and clean on the outside. Underneath the fine clothes of outward appearance for the unsaved is the body of a dead man. Let me give you the words of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Wow. Listen to me, because here it is. The unsaved man who is in the gutter, his inward condition is communicated by his outward disposition. Got that? But listen, because there's more. The unsaved man who is in suburban America, his inward condition is camouflaged by his outward disposition. Just because a man has not defiled himself with outward vice does not mean that he is a bastion of moral excellence. God sees, God understands our thoughts. Do you hear what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say is this. Listen, before salvation, the heart of all men is alike. And if left alone without certain biblical influences upon our life, you too would speed toward greater and greater evils, just like the savages in the Middle East and tribal cultures do. You say, "Wow, preacher, that's pretty bigoted and blunt language." Well, my friend, what words would you choose to describe a culture where there are beheadings and cannibalism and human sacrifices? Friend, if you're having a hard time with this truth, that without the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even if you are unsaved, that that's had upon you in your life here in America, if you're having a hard time with that, may I suggest you do a little more study of God's Word and a lot more honest self-examination of your own heart and thought processes. Just because mankind overlooks many forms of sin, Brother Doug, and he categorizes them as, "Well, that's just human nature," it certainly does not gain that man any moral standing in the presence of a thrice holy God. And that's who we all got to give an account to one day. All sin is black and vile in the sight of Him whose head and hairs are white like wool, as white as snow, and whose eyes are as a flame of fire. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14, describing the resurrected Jesus Christ. Now, we tend to judge sin only how that thing affects other men. But my friend, God judges sin based on how it affects our soul life. Based on how it destroys the crown of His creation. That's us! My friend, you're the crown of God's creation! He judges sin based on how it breaks His commandments, and all sin, A-double-L sin, does exactly that. And whether it directly affects another man or not, sin always, it always, without fail, sin hurts the heart of God. And do you know why? Listen. Not because God is weak. He's all powerful. But it hurts the heart of God because sin is fatal. It is 100% fatal. It is a killer. It is killing every single one of us. But God is love. God wants us to live. God doesn't want us to destroy ourselves. In fact, He loves us so much that the Bible says He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent Jesus Christ to pay the penalty of your sin on that old rugged cross on Calvary Hill. God for man, the substitutionary sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ for us. Do you have that? Are you saved? If you're not saved, or you're not sure that you're saved, my friend, the only way to have that is through Jesus Christ. The only way to come out of the children of men and to enter into the generation of the righteous is through God's Son. Say, God, I'm wrong. God, you're right. God, please forgive me. I'll live for you now. And when you trust Jesus Christ, my friend, that is salvation. Religion can't do it. Coming to church can't do it. Being baptized can't do it. Giving tithes and offerings can't do it. Only salvation comes through Jesus Christ. We're talking about the conduct of this world. And we're looking at its works. Listen, my friend, if you're here today and you're not saved, we're going to have an invitation at the end of this service. There's nothing more important in your life. There's nothing more important that you'll ever do in getting salvation squared. Amen. My friend, that's the most impactful decision that a man and woman ever makes. It's an eternal decision. And God offers forgiveness to all men through Christ. We're looking at its works. The first work we see is that they are corrupt. The second work is that they have done abominable works. Look at verse number 1 again. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. Now, once a man has renounced the Most High in his heart, for the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Once a man has renounced the Most High in his heart, there's no telling what they may do. Human nature has never changed. The world before the flood was corrupt. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 12, the Bible says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. The world before the flood was corrupt, and the world after the flood is corrupt. And if you ever want to see a good picture of humanity without Jesus Christ, why don't you take some time and read Romans chapter number 1. But I think the conduct, Brother Wayne, of man is much easier to see in our day. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I'm talking about the freedom that the internet allows to search for web pages to meet the desires, the filthy and abominable desires of a man's heart. Did you know that every year, billions upon billions of searches happen for websites that contain debauchery? Job 15, verse 16, listen. The Bible says, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. Technology has made it so much easier for men to hide themselves as they explore the cesspool of corruptness and the wicked desires of their heart, which is never more than one mouse click away. Listen, what are these abominable works that verse number 1 speaks of? Well, I want us to spend the rest of our time this morning seeing what the Bible has to say about that. Number 1, the first one is adultery. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 11, the Bible says this, "And one that committeth abomination with his neighbor's wife." Listen, hooking up is not cool and just part of today's lifestyle. But friend, that's baloney. It's abomination to the Lord. It wrecks wives. It harms husbands. It crushes children. And if you're doing it before marriage, it mars marriage. You're foolish if you don't think taking that baggage into a marriage will not wreak havoc all through your entire life. It's great wickedness. Do you remember what Joseph said? When he was tempted there and seduced by Potiphar's wife in Genesis chapter 39 and verse number 9, he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Call it what it is and avoid it." And the internet has certainly eased the means of the adulterer. One is adultery. Another abominable act is the sin of homosexuality. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Now, I don't care how much our society tries to normalize those who are working that which is unseemly, as Paul said in Romans chapter 1, it will always be a perverse lifestyle. It will always be an abomination to the Lord. And of course our society accepts it. Of course they promote it. Their heart is corrupt. Listen, don't get caught up in this gigantic push to ram homosexuality down the throats of the American people. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Remember what God has said. It is vile sin. We're looking at the conduct of this world and we're talking about its works. Right now we're looking at they have done abominable works. What are those? Adultery. Homosexuality. Number 3, the occult and its spinoffs. Deuteronomy chapter 18 verses 11 and 12. A charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Ouija boards, palm readers, horoscopes, programming with hauntings, chants, or spells. Listen, these are not merely entertainment. Remember, the devil is the prince and the power of the air. These are not merely games and leisurely activities. They are abomination. And you might be surprised how many folks dabble around in these things during the week and then they come into our churches and plop down on Sunday. If you're doing that, my friend, you need to repent. You need to be careful. Number 4, there is idolatry. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, in lust, in excess of wine, in revelings and banquetings," watch this, "and abominable idolatries." Wow. You realize that anything in our life that moves God from the throne of our heart into second place, or third place, or fourth place, or wherever He may end up besides on the throne, that is an abomination. Anything. That's sobering. Number 5. Cross-dressing. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." Men should not wear women's clothing, and women should not wear men's clothing. It's not cute, it's not funny. It's an abomination, and it is to be condemned with the Scripture. Now, here's the thing right here. If somebody can't take a casual glance at you and make a definitive determination that you are male or female, my friend, you have crossed the line. Did you know that we got laws in some states in our country where students in high school can make a choice to which bathroom they want to use? Whether they want to go to a male bathroom or a female's bathroom. We got doctors legally mutilating young children. My friend, we have normalized abomination. We are defending drag queens and children being with drag queens in our country today. We have normalized abomination, and we know the end of the age is near because of that. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Number six, this also is an abomination. Ripping people off for personal profit. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 10, divers weights and divers measures, both of them alike are abomination to the Lord. Happens in the sales industry all the time. It's called fudging. How many of you have ever been fudged? I raised both of my hands. We can be had in so many ways. Customers are sold warranties that are not honored. People get ripped off at gasoline pumps as the calibrations there are finagled with. Super lube type stations. We've all seen those undercover videos there. Even at grocery stores, especially in the meat department. It even happens locally on a personal level there at yard sales. Oh, this is original. Hey. God is keeping up with it, and God will never get ripped off. It's an abomination, and now everything that is online, the vultures have really come out. We're talking about the works of this world and how they committed abominable acts. Another is the character trait of being forward and lying. Proverbs 3:32, for the forward is abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Is your head spinning yet? So many things. Listen, lying may be socially acceptable, especially if it'll save your own hide. But do you see how God sees it? It's an abomination. Matter of fact, when I tell you, you're never more like the devil than when you're telling a lie or being deceitful. For he is a liar, Jesus said, and the father of it. Sir, have you been hiding things from your wife? Ma'am, are there things that you have not told your husband about? Friend, understand this morning, if we are not being completely open and transparent in our relationships, that means we are practicing some form of deception and lying, and it's an abomination to God Almighty. But there's more. Causing trouble in the church. Speaking bad about your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You may think you're taking prayer requests, but God knows. God knows. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19. He that soweth discord among the brethren. You read that passage there in Proverbs chapter 6. You're going to see that not only is that an abomination to the Lord, but you're also going to find that God hates that. Listen to me. You may think this is just another social type club or gathering. You may feel that you're free to cut others down in this place, knifing members in the back, trying to get members to side with you against other members. But from this day forward, I want you to be fully aware, my dear precious brother and sister, that God says it is an abomination to me. Many, if not all of you, would never be involved in some of the things that we've talked about this morning. But you are quick to sow discord. You are quick to be contentious and cause strife right here in the house of God. And God says it's an abomination. What about this one? Being proud. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Did you know this is just accepted? It's even promoted within our Christian families. It goes like this. You got to have some self-esteem, i.e. pride. Brother Matt, we even begin to speak of it in glowing terms. Why, they're such a proud person. Listen, whoever has high thoughts of themselves as something to behold, and if you want to see how many people think proud of themselves, just look how many Instagram accounts there are. If you think of yourself as something to behold, something to be reckoned with, understand that is abomination in the sight of God. And do you want to know why? My friend, it's because we are wretched sinners. Look at the list. Eli, bring that list up. Look at the list that we've gone through so far. We're nothing but wretched sinners. And the only thing good about us is that which God has wrought in us by the Holy Spirit through His Son, Jesus Christ. By the way, not being able to admit that you're wrong, not being able to say I'm sorry out of a sincere heart, is a sign of big time pride. How about this? The prayers of those that refuse to hear God's Word. Did you know that's an abomination? Mark this verse down. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law of God is an abomination to God. Did you know that? Did you know if you reject what this book says, God's love letter to you, did you know that if you reject this book, until you get that right, every prayer that you make is an abomination to the Lord? Now, how's this message sitting with you? I know it's a tough one. But did you know that your prayers depend upon your reception or rejection of it? Now, some like to restrict that verse to just the receiving of the Savior. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. No, that's wrong. It applies to all. You think it's already hot in here. It's about to get hotter. Listen. When Christians, when churches go against the Scripture, listen to me, and allow for women preachers or divorced pastors and divorced deacons or the ordination of homosexuals into the ministry, or they tell people that they can lose their salvation in Jesus Christ, listen, my friend, don't you dare get mad at them. I want you to get sad for them. Because until he or she or that church decides to side with God and stop turning away their ear from hearing the law, every prayer that they make is an abomination to the Lord. Now, I know that's a tough pill to swallow, but it's the truth of God's Word, which has no private interpretation. Your way is not right and my way is not right. This way is right. And God's Word says what it means. Plain precepts should be plainly practiced and they should be plainly preached. Listen, another abomination. We're almost to the end. Thank you for enduring. Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. This also is an abominable work. Things that are admired and cherished by mankind. That's odd. But listen to what Jesus said. Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Quite simply, if you flow right along with everyone else, then you are an abomination to heaven. Now listen to me. We should never set forth with the intent to be obnoxious or the intent to be offensive. If we're living for Jesus, listen though, if we're living for Jesus, we will, hear me, we will cut right against the grain of this world and you will stick out like a sore thumb. Friend, wherever you are, whatever circle you're a part of, if you're fitting right in with that thing, let me tell you, something is dreadfully wrong. Think about it, whether you're part of the marching band and you fit right in with everybody else, because most people are unsaved. Jesus said, only a few find the way to eternal life. There in the classroom, on your job, at the ball team, if you're fitting right in with everybody else, my friend, down at the gym, in your neighborhood, there's something terribly wrong, and you need to be concerned about that. If you know you're saved, then you need to quit compromising your faith in Jesus Christ and start living the way God wants you to, so God can bless you, God can use you to influence others who may not know the Savior. And the last one. The religious motions of those who are unsaved and backslidden. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 13. God said, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Friend, the Lord is to be worshipped. In spirit and in truth. Everything else causes nausea to the stomach of Jesus Christ. And the book of Revelation says He'll spew those out of His mouth. We simply cannot afford to ever come into this place out of fellowship with our Father in heaven. Isaiah says it is abomination. Now, Eli, bring my list back up. All of that is what the Bible means when it says they have committed abominable acts. In the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, it tells us that those who have committed abominable works, listen to me, that those who have done abomination, that they are going to be cast into the lake of fire forever. Let me give you a couple of verses. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8. The Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Another verse, Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. God said, and there shall in no wise enter into it, that is into heaven, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And church, are you listening? When we consider everything that we've looked at today, my friend, if you're saved, you ought to glorify God. Your heart ought to be melting with gratitude right now. Because you know that you sometimes, just like me, were an abomination to the Lord. But now we've been forgiven. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. And God forbid that we willingly do those things anymore. And if we slip and fall, listen, repent quickly and get back to walking with the Lord. You say, preacher, if I look at that list and I understand everything that you said to me this morning, I think I understood what you said. Preacher, how in the world can anybody get to heaven? That's a good question. There's only one way. And that is through Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. See, Jesus Christ died for your sin. He was buried in a tomb for your sin. And He rose again the third day for your sin. According to the Scriptures. That's exactly what God said He would do. And He did it. My friend, all you have to do is to receive that gift. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, But according to His mercy, He saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How many of you ever received a Christmas gift or a birthday present? Man, some of you got some mean parents. Listen, when you get those gifts, what do? Just take it, don't you? If Sister Keisha offered me a gift, man, this doesn't happen very often. Okay, I should have known better. All I have to do is receive that gift. That's the way salvation is. We just have to receive it. For as many as received Him, Jesus Christ, to them that receive Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. You say, I don't have what it takes to be saved. You're right, you don't. You have to receive Jesus Christ and God to give you the power to be saved. Listen, don't be religious and be lost. Let God speak to you through His Scriptures. Titus said they profess to be saved, but they are disobedient, they are abominable, and to every good work reprobate. Listen, Jesus can make you white as snow, and He can do that right now. All sin, all manner of sin can be forgiven then. All of these abominable acts can be forgiven by Almighty God. Matter of fact, He delights to do so. But there is one sin, listen, that can never be forgiven. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and telling you, yes, you need Jesus, trust Him. When God is telling you yes, but you tell God no. Unbelief can never be forgiven. If God's troubling your heart today about trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you surrender? Ask Christ to save you. We're starting the invitation. I'd be glad. Won't you come forward? I'd be glad to take my Bible and show you through this book how God said you can have eternal life. Oh, I'd love to do that if you'll step out during the invitation. If you're saved, my friend, why don't you rejoice and thank God for what He's done for you, and then see the truth of those around you who are not saved and re-engage in sharing Christ with them. Our gracious Heavenly Father,